Last but not
Meatloaf.
This messenger.
Hey there, rock stars. This is Josh Redding.
And Ray Smith.
From the Tangent Break Podcast. Let's put life on pause because it's time for a tangent.
No. It's time for Horribly Awkward.
Hey there, everybody. This is Dave from Bad Cop, Bad Cop Show. You are listening to the Horribly Awkward Podcast live from Sean's mother's basement.
Hey. This is a dragonfly from Pure Orgasmic Love Podcast. You're listening to the Horribly Awkward Podcast. Yes, you are.
Hello, everybody. This is Jerry from Bad Cop, Bad Cop Show. You're listening to the Horribly Awkward Podcast, a member of the great and stellar
BS Podcast Network.
The BS Podcast Network.
The BS Podcast Network.
Excuse me, sir. Yeah, I would like to return this lawnmower.
Oh, okay. What seems to be the problem with it?
Well, this thing is way, way too powerful for its own good. I was mowing my lawn, and I accidentally mowed over my wishing well. It's gone.
Oh, my God. Your wishing well?
Yeah, my wishing well. It's gone. I mowed over it. It's flattened, man. It's flattened. I had this wishing well that I throw, you know, quarters in there every once in a while. I wish for a better, happier future. It never worked, but, you know, it was there.
Well, we're not responsible for your own personal property. Sorry, but I'll have to get my manager to see what we can do. But yeah, it's not our problem.
Are you serious? How long is this going to take? Because, you know, I'm waiting in line behind this guy, and I really need to get these paint chips and figure out the paint that I need. How long is this going to take?
All right, lady, hold on. I got a serious problem here. I had a wishing well earlier. I no longer had that wishing well.
Well, I guess I'm going to tell you five words. You want to know what my five words are?
Yeah, go
ahead. It sucks to be you right now.
Oh.
And I really don't care. I need to get my paint chips taken care of right now.
Yeah, Miss... Whatever. Mr. Home Depot, can you call security and get this lady out of here?
Actually, no. You call your manager and have him deal with his manager, but you need to help me now.
Wait, look, I'll just get my manager. You guys can just chill for a minute, please. Thank you.
Well, no, but I don't have time, dude. First of all, I need to return this lawnmower. Then I need to go rebuy bricks. I need to go buy a couple of gallons of water. I need to rebuild my wishing well, dude. I can't. You can call them. Don't go get security or manager. Just call them. Do something quick.
Maybe you should just get a Kickstarter started.
Is there any damage to the mower itself?
Well, Kickstarter is not a bad idea. You know, this lady has some pretty good points. You know, I could.
Good. Now, can you get through the line already so I can get my stuff? Thank you.
Wow. Pushy. Okay. Well, whatever. Here, you go first.
Thank you. So, sir, these are the paint chips I need to buy. And I need to get this done as soon as possible.
Okay.
Please ring me out. And you have 30 seconds, counting now.
All right. Here, I can help you right now.
28.
Hurry up, sir.
27.
All right.
Hurry up.
Okay, here's...
Don't freak out.
We take Visa.
Don't panic.
Yes.
Got it.
You don't take Walmart gifts. Hey,
right,
I got a Walmart gift card. Does that work?
See you later. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
That was quick. Well, thanks for getting her out here. I can't. Oh, that lady was crazy. Okay, while you wait, let me pull out my portable recorder. Hold on a second. Okay. I'm going to pull this out and me and you.
Wait.
Come back.
Hey.
Yeah?
What?
Dude, you charged me the wrong amount for my paint chips. What is the matter with you?
Hey, I charged you the right amount. I was looking at the price. It's right here in the register.
You charged me extra dollar for these paint chips. They were not supposed to be this much money.
What is going on here? Crazy lady.
Now,
crazy lady. Shh. Hey, Normie. Give me a horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
I can't even control myself. It's so horribly awkward.
This is so awkward.
It's so awkward.
This is horribly awkward. No one off.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Horribly awkward.
Sean, dude, you're horribly awkward.
Sean, I know you think this is weird, but it's not as weird as you think it is, dude.
Don't do that. It's awkward.
Welcome to Horribly Awkward, episode 43. I am your host, Sean. As always, another podcast and another killer show delivered to your ear holes. Thanks for downloading the show. I do appreciate it. If you like what you hear, tell your friends about it, because word of mouth is a beautiful thing, so use what your mama gave you. I do have a voicemail number if you'd like to drop me a line about anything. It's 510-600-3475. I would love to hear it, so send them, and I will play them. And you can also type me out a message the old-fashioned way at horriblyawkwardpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, on today's show, I got my good buddy, Mr. Gunny Chief, who really, well, I mean, he was born with the name Henley Merrill. But Henley, what is up, dude?
Oh, not much, man. Thanks for having me on.
Dude.
I'm good. Good.
I'm glad you're here, man. I mean, it's been a while, but we got a cool podcast and going right now. Cool. We got another cool guest on. I don't know if we'll introduce her. Maybe we'll do the whole podcast and introduce her at the end, and then she can come in and help us close the show out.
Sounds good to me.
It does sound good. No, it doesn't. That would be rude. Yeah. So we got America's Sweetheart from ZombieCast, Knuckleballer Radio, Social Dozen, and everything else cool that is podcasting. I mean, she's a part of it all because she is our staple at the Social Dozen and all games and everything. So, guys, wait, she's not here. I don't know where she went. She disappeared. Henley, who was it? Who was that person?
That was Normie.
Normie. Oh, wait, you mean me?
Normie.
I know those things? No, you are too much. It's just me, Normie.
It's just me, a Normie.
It's a Normie. What am I gonna do? I do nothing.
What is up, guys?
Hey, everybody.
Wait, first off, hold on. I got no response from the crowd. Really? All right, everybody, put your hands together for Henley and Normie. Woo!
Ah! Yay! Yeehaw! Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Where'd you come from?
Settle down.
Come on, people.
Oh, no. Don't get them riled up again. You want to get them riled up one more time?
No, they get out of control. Then they start breaking windows, breaking chairs. We don't want them to do that to your stuff.
But I've never done this before, so let's get it. A second round of applause. Give me an extra loud standing ovation for Normie and Henley, guys. Yeah!
Thank you.
Dang, that was awesome.
Thank you. Wow, what an ego boost. Thanks, guys.
That was super cool. That's never happened before on this podcast. That was fucking fantastic. Whew, guys, I'm out of breath. I don't know what to talk about. What's up with you guys? Anyways, let's talk a little bit about everything right now. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Yeah, and he's like, let's go. What do I talk about? Yeah, Henley, man. What's up, man? Henley, you did some jogging today, right? Or some treadmilling?
Yeah. You know, that's something good to talk about. Me and Normie are actually Fitbit friends. That's my little device I wear on my wrist for counts my steps. I love that thing. It's, you know, when I first got that Fitbit, I thought, well, this will just be able to track how many steps I take. And I think it's become more than that. You know, I work Tuesday through Friday, and I pretty much just sit around Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, not doing a whole lot, just playing video games. But, I mean, ever since I've gotten that, it's been, you know, get out there on Sunday and Mondays to meet my 10,000 step minimum.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like the scale. It's what happens to people who weigh themselves more often. Mm-hmm. They lose more weight, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I see the challenges on there, and I think, oh, man, I'm going to, you know, instead of maybe just sitting around watching Netflix, I can just go for an hour and, you know, and get 10,000 steps easily. And it's, you know, made me a lot more healthier.
Dude, I am a numbers freak, right? When it comes to, like, weighing on the scale, even if you're down a 0.2 of a pound, it's exciting, you know, like, and, you know, just for anything, you know, when it comes to, like, gamer score, you know, you see their numbers going up, or, dude, I'm just, like, numbers, I'm a numbers freak, guys, I'm such a numbers freak. I can see having a Fitbit, like, I have it on my phone, I have the app, the Sprint app, I don't know how accurate it is, but it seems to be pretty good. So, when I start checking my daily steps, I haven't done this in a little while, but when I pull up like SL, is it health? Okay, but I'll pull it up and I'll get the steps down. Like I'll go running or jogging. I'll see how many healthy steps, how many calories I possibly burn. And that becomes more motivation to keep doing it rather than just going and doing it. And there's nothing keeping track of it. And you just don't, it's not that you don't want to keep doing it. It's just like, it's, I don't know. It's, if you see the proof, it's exciting.
It is. And
it is exciting.
And I've got, I've actually increased it in the last 6 weeks. I've actually upped it to, what do they call that, Normie? It's my, my goal. My goal
Your
is,
goal. Yes.
Yeah, my goal is 14,000. So I've upped it by 4,000.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I keep mine at 10, which usually I do anywhere, I think from anywhere from 14 to 15,000, Monday through Friday. Saturdays, I lose it. But you're right. It is more motivation to get up and go. In fact, I just read a little thing on Facebook that there's this woman in the bed and her husband's looking at her. She's like, I can't get up, honey. My Fitbit's not done charging and my steps won't count.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when I'm charging my Fitbit, I make sure it's when I'm sitting down and I'm watching TV or I'm playing a game and I charge it. And, you know, I have to get up and get a drink of water. So I'm like, I can't get up. I can't get up because my steps won't count. So
right.
To me, it's a big deal. Like, I really, really, like, that really is a motivator. And I know about what time every day I'm supposed to hit my 10,000 step Monday through Friday. And if at that time it doesn't buzz me that I've hit my steps, I up the ante and I continue to start walking some more on purpose. And my main goal was actually the reason why I wanted the Fitbit. You know, I was curious to see how many steps I took anyways, but my Fitbit also tracks my sleep patterns. And I go
yes.
through real bouts of insomnia. So to me, I was curious to see how many hours I was sleeping like solid and between what times I was waking up or more restless at. And I don't know if there's anything I could really do with that, but at least I have an idea as to like, okay, I know between 2 and 3 in the morning, I'm very active in my sleep. So obviously my brain is becoming alert and I'm starting to wake up. You know, what are different techniques I can do to try to soothe that or, you know, make myself go back to sleep again? You know, and sometimes it's a little, it's accurate, but it's not because I'm choosing to, you know, wake up. It's because my cat decides he's attacking my foot. So now I'm like jumping all over the place trying to get sleep. And, you know, the Fitbit marks that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember. My cat was like, hey, look, toes. Let's play with them.
How does it track your sleep, though? I don't understand. How does it do that?
Once you're not moving, it can detect your heartbeat. And it, once you're sleeping, your heartbeat slows down. So that's how it realizes that you're in sleep mode when it's consistently at a slower pace.
Yeah, and that's what I have. I have the Fitbit HR, so which is the heart rate. So it tracks it 24 hours. Yeah, I think that's how it knows because it probably – I know what you're saying because I will see on there where it'll say, hey, you did like 15 steps between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. And I'm like, yeah, I was kind of restless. So it's pretty accurate. With the sleep.
Okay. I don't sleep good at all. I got sleep apnea. I have a CPAP, I think it's called. I went for a sleep study a couple years ago. They gave it to me and I can't do it. I just sit there forever and I can't fall asleep with this thing on my face. And it feels like, cause like it's blowing air in up your nose or whatever.
Boy.
And I'm a mouth sleeper, or like a mouth breather, so because I can't really breathe through one nostril, so I'll wake up and it's just like, I just go, and like, I can't do it. I want to have good sleep, but I just can't do it, man. All this old people shit, you guys, we're fucking complainers, man.
We're old, and you guys are younger than me. But I understand when I had surgery and they put that stupid oxygen little tubes in my nose, mm-hmm. I kept pulling it out. I couldn't stand it. And they're like, you really need to keep this in there. I'm like, really? I don't want to. So when they weren't looking, I like pop it off. I'm like, oh, it came off again.
Yeah.
So I'm like, please, can you ask the doctor when it's okay for me to take this off? Because it's really uncomfortable. I'm breathing on my own. I know you're doing it for a precaution, but I cannot stand anything like blowing in my face like that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just constantly blowing air. It's like, and then when you exhale, it's kind of like it feels like it's pushing air still, but it's slowly mm-hmm. going out. It's very, I don't know, I start to panic a little bit. It doesn't, maybe it doesn't fit my face right. It pushes in on my chin. And I'm kind of like, I'm your father. I don't know. It's very unpleasant. So, I mean, I don't know. I try it. I got pulled it out recently. I'm like, let me try this again. And it's the same shit. Just.
I couldn't do that either, Sean. I have terrible anxiety, and one of my things is claustrophobia. So anything like the blanket over my face or any kind of mask, it would just, definitely send me into a panic.
Dude, any movie I watch that where someone gets buried alive or something, I fucking freak out, dude.
Yeah.
Just imagining being stuck in this box where like when I was younger, my mom had a friend and they had kids that were sort of our age, me and my brother's age, and we go hang out at their house a lot. And there was one of them was a little bit older than us, and he'd like get me down on the ground, like sit on top of me, and like hold my arms down. And I just remembered how freaked out I would be about just having no control over getting up, just like get off, like get tightened up, and it was like that. It's what I imagine. Like, I mean, being buried alive would be way worse. But could you imagine just being in there and you can't move your legs? You can't, like, it's like the walls are right here and like panic, and you can't breathe. And,
I can't watch the movie with people like underwater. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the movie with the cruise ship Poseidon? Is that was the name of the movie? You know, Titanic, any kind of movie where people are trapped underwater gets me hysterical. Like, and I start realizing that I cannot breathe, and I'm like trying to breathe through this whole movie, like in a deeper way, and it's just causing more and more panic. So yes, anything with underwater, getting trapped underwater, my heartbeat starts to go up. I can't breathe. I try to take deeper breaths. I'm like, okay, I'm breathing for them. But it just makes me breathe less or become harder to breathe. So I can't watch that.
Yeah, you start concentrating on how much you can't breathe. And I couldn't imagine drowning, just being underwater. I don't think I could, you know, I was listening to the Bert Kreischer podcast. He's a comedian, does his podcast, but he was talking about when he was going, snorkeling or whatever, but they were like pretty deep, and he was saying the oxygen tank was failing or something.
Oh, boy,
he was telling this story, and I was like freaking listening to him, like, oh my god, could you imagine being there? Because you can't, when you're so deep down, you can't just go up. You have to like go up slow as the pressure. I don't know what it is with the pressure, but you can't just go from like deep to the surface like in a quick matter, because I don't know what will happen. Your head will explode. I have no idea. I'm a dumb guy. You guys are talking
blood
to a dumb
clot.
Guy. Blood clot.
It's a blood clot. Yeah.
And I couldn't imagine that, dude.
Oh yes.
Could you guys do that? Could you guys like go, you know, deep sea diving?
Nope.
I was
better half is scuba certified, and I don't know how he does it, because I just think about that, and again, I start. I go through panic attacks.
I was watching this documentary on those deep sea divers that work on those oil platforms that weld. And I think they're some of the highest paid people. It's probably one of the most dangerous jobs. But yeah, when they come up, I think they have to get inside one of those really small pods and be in there for like 2 hours and let the pressure go down slowly. And oh,
the
just
compressor
so confined.
Tank.
Yeah.
My husband thought about doing that job. And I'm like, I can't do it, because if I know you're out there, I'm going to die not being able to breathe for you. So
No, Norma, you wouldn't.
You'd be
sitting in a big-ass house with nice-ass cars, all the flat-screen TVs you want, six Xboxes.
Maybe.
I wouldn't be
breathing. I'd be like, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game, you know, on my, what was it, on my Nintendo. I couldn't play the level where you're underwater and you're swimming. I couldn't do it. Like, I was losing my oxygen, you know? Even when I played the Mario games and you're underwater and you're swimming with the squids and you're on that timer, I couldn't do it. I can't even play video games that were required to be underwater, especially, like, with a timer. Like, if you know, you have to go up in the air and breathe, I can't do it. I start to go in panic mode.
Tomb Raider has that, though. Tomb Raider, if you're underwater, you start to panic.
And that was panic. In fact, I couldn't beat that part, and I had to pass that part over to the better half. I'm like, you need to do this. I can't breathe right now. I'm, like, hysterical. And I had to walk away.
That's awesome. That means the game is so good, it makes you feel like you're there.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
that turtle game, I'll never forget the turtles. I couldn't do it. And whenever I would, like, die, because, you know, I couldn't get up to the air and surface to breathe or whatever, like, I felt at the same time relieved that I didn't have to hold my breath anymore, but at the same time I felt terrible because I killed my poor little turtle.
Aww.
Poor turtle. Crazy, I know.
They're turtles, though. They can be underwater forever.
That's what I thought, but nope. They had to do that board where, you know, swimming through the seaweed. I'll never forget that.
Swimming through the seaweed. Which game was that, though? Was that the old, like, the side-scrolling?
That's old school, yes. That the is. Old school side-scrolling
there was, one. There was a side-scrolling one back in the day on Nintendo. I never can get past this part where there was, like, a sewer, and there was this little gap, and there was a wall, and, like, it always hit my head, and you fall down the thing. I never, ever made it over that gap. I just don't know how to do it.
I think games were harder back in the day.
Oh, yeah, they were. Yeah, fuck yeah. They were a lot harder. Nowadays, you have the options of going on easy mode. You have the options of looking. You know, I get stuck in games all the time, and I go on YouTube, and I find the how to do it rather than trying to figure it out and beating myself up over it.
Yeah, now there's quick save, and
yes.
Dude, quick save in Skyrim was the best, dude. You could beat a boss halfway, quick save it if you had a lot of good health. Like, if you had a good amount of health and you beat a boss halfway, you can quick save right there. In case you die, you go right back to that part. Like, you just, in the middle, just whenever you wanted, it was amazing, dude. I like that. I like it.
Yes. I like it a lot.
So what else is going on in your guys' lives?
School ended for me on Friday, but I'm not off for the summer. But it is over. I'm officially non-teaching for the school year. You know, I'll be working at a summer camp, so that's kind of nice. I'm excited for my earlier hours for the summer.
Summer camp? Is it local?
Yep. Summer camp, it is local. Cool. It'll be fun. And, you know, I have a couple of camping trips for myself.
You're going to be doing a slumber camp. Don't lie. You know what that's... You know,
no.
We all know what that's code for.
No Friday the 13th style summer camps.
Hey, let's hear about your story that happened a couple of weeks ago. Possible meth lab blew up.
Oh, my God. I have never been rocked off my couch that way in my life. I don't want to go into too much details, but there's a rumor that it could have been a meth lab exploding a block and a half away from my house. And literally, it shook the whole entire neighborhood, that it knocked the power off. And the house is demolished. And I showed you pictures of it, what it looked like.
It was, I saw the pictures.
Insanity. Insanity. And I mean, they had to do an investigation. They were considering a crime scene at the time. And they weren't allowed to demolish the building until their investigation was done. Now, the investigation is done. Building has been taken down. But everything is on the hush-hush, which leads us all to believe had it been a gas leak, it would have been like, oh, it was a gas leak, you know. But
yeah, they don't want to get the whole block riled up over. There's a meth lab, and it gets people freaked out. It causes panic. Some things are best left. You know, not because if it was a gas leak, they would probably come out right away to say it right away to kind of calm everyone down.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was very unnerving. Like, it didn't hit me really fully till the next night when I was like closing my eyes and going to sleep, and then I couldn't sleep because I started thinking, oh my goodness, what if that had been my house next door? Mm. You know, what if I was a next door neighbor? And there were a couple of the houses that the windows all got blown out. I have a friend that lived across the street. Thankfully, she was okay, and there was no damage to her building, to her home. But you don't know. And the best of neighborhoods, you never know. I mean, people work. They, even if it's a shady kind of way, they'll find a job. And unfortunately, it could have been more, you know, fortunately, there was no more casualties. You know, we have a lot of kids in this neighborhood, and they're all out running up and down the streets. You know, just imagine there's a kid out right in front of that, you know, sidewalk as the explosion happened.
I saw that one kid in the pictures. That one kid was kind of injured.
He was rocked off. He was actually on the other side of the street playing, and he got knocked down.
Wow. So,
the force of the explosion,
Yeah. And if I felt it a block and a half down my house, I cannot imagine what the impact was like next door or even that half a block away.
No, you'd be so scared. If that happened like next door to you, could you imagine? You would just constantly live in fear forever, like something's going to happen again, right?
You just don't know. I mean, you just never know. And then, like I said, yesterday, some dodo head knocks out the power, and that's, you know, when the explosion happened, we jumped off the couch. 2 seconds later, power out. So then to wake up and no power again, and you hear the ambulance in the background, you hear the fire trucks. My first thought's like, oh, great. What happened now? You know, what other serious issue happened? So, yeah. So that was my not-so-adventurous moment about 2 weeks ago.
And just luckily no one
got killed over it, or, you know.
No, there's one person seriously injured. He has over 50% of his body burned. He ran out of the house, and one of the neighbors had to hose him down. And they were able to get him some help. Right now, we don't know anything about him. Last I knew, a couple of days ago, he was still in critical danger, and he had to be airlifted to a hospital. Terrible. Yeah. You know, part of me, the human part of me says, I'm glad he's okay. The other part of me says, you know, he was dabbling in stuff that he shouldn't have done and put a lot of other people in danger. That really had, you know, no direct connection to him, and that was selfish on his part too.
Yeah, it's drug addiction's something another, like a completely different beast. Like when you're caught up in it, I've been caught up in it. I've been down that dark path, and there's, you'll do anything and everything you can, like, to get what you need, get what you want. You'll experiment with these chemicals. Right. If somebody was really trying to, you know, they thought it's you're stuck in this deep dark place that it sucks. It really does suck. And it only takes doing something once to figure out you like it and just get caught in that, especially if it's meth, you know, or something like that.
That's why I have sympathy for him, because, you know, I don't have that addictive personality. I can't imagine what it's like, but I can also see friends who got down in this deep, dark, deep hole, and I could see them, like, you know, how I was playing these water games, gasping for air, and they're just gasping for air in a whole nother psychological and physical way that, you know, and I feel bad, you know, so I'm glad that he survived. It sucks the way that he survived, but I'm glad that he's okay, you know, so... Yeah. I don't know. There's a little, you know, I guess I just don't want people to get hurt. You know, even when we don't make the right choices, I still don't want people to get hurt.
Yeah, I think I just think there's so much depression and sadness and stuff in the world that a lot of people turn to uppers, chemicals, to get that boost, that feeling that, oh, everything's great. I got friends. Everything's great. Oh, let's talk it out. Like, that you get so excited to do these things. And a lot of people just get stuck in that. You know, you just... try it a couple of times, you get stuck in that, and then before you know it, you're just a fiend.
I mean, yeah, I was gonna say, I have a brother who's been, you know, going through that, and it's tough. It's, you know, I know about, he's in a deep dark place, and, you know, he's, you know, 43 years old and still going through it. It's just, my heart goes out to him as well. You know,
mine too, man.
It's rough. It's tough. It's tough. You know, I lost a friend. He was in his 30s, and, you know, he was still very much deep into it. And he didn't have an overdose, but sadly, because his pool was so strong, he got mixed with the wrong people, and he was murdered for the little money he had in his pocket.
Oh.
So, you know, it's hard. It's, you know, I don't understand addiction personally, but my heart goes out for some, you know, for people who are going through it, because I understand what it's like to be in a spot where you feel depressed and upset, and no one, you know, nothing else except for this one thing can take you out, you know, and everybody on the outside understands this is not good for you. You need to stop. But, you know, to be on the other end of that, you don't understand. This is what makes me function. You know, I don't know.
The only way I can describe it, Norma, to be very simple, is that nothing else in the entire world matters besides this feeling you're chasing. And you do get that feeling the first couple times you try it, maybe first, even the first year if you're doing it constantly. It goes away, and you're always trying to get that back, but you can't get it back. It's just like you're just out of your mind. And when you're on it, you're trying to think about all the things you want to do to get off it. But when you're off it, nothing else matters but getting back on it. And it's like you'll go into people's houses who are meth addicts or drug addicts, and their houses are fucking trash because, you know, the only thing on their mind is how am I going to get more drugs? They've run out of money. They've run out of ways to get it easily, so they got to go out and do more shit to get it. So everything's just trash. Everything, you know, you'll see meth addicts with vehicles because they probably sold them or wrecked them, and it's just – you get, I mean, this is, I'm talking from personal experience.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I've been down all this shit. I'm very open about it. I let people know that there is a light side. You can get out of it. I've been clean almost going on 9 years.
Ooh, gosh.
Congratulations.
But that was like after a 6-year bender of just chasing the, like, whatever, chasing that fucking filthy, nasty shit. But it's just, you lose everything. You'll have people give you presents, and you're like, oh, this is great, until you run out of drugs, and then that becomes something you can get money for. So mm-hmm. you will never have anything of value ever. You just won't. You'll get rid of it. I have cars gone. I got all my musical equipment. I had like so thousands and thousands of dollars of music equipment. I let that all go. Like everything is just, it all goes.
It's interesting because that world in a way still intrigues me. Like I said, I don't understand addiction from a personal way. And I'm always watching documentary of people who are going through addiction and fighting it out. You know, right now I have to find the name of the documentary I'm watching. It's like a TV series. It's on Netflix. And it's about the different drugs that are just like circling, you know, where they start in Mexico or they start in Colombia or they start in like the Ukraine and that are circling. You know, it starts from that point and somehow gets to us in the U.S. You know, and to me, to see this, I don't know, I try to watch it as a learning experience, maybe just to see if I see anybody who exhibits these symptoms, you know, to kind of read it, to understand maybe a little bit closer what it's like to have, to be in that situation without, you know, crossing that line and taking anything.
Yeah, you can never imagine unless you're in it. And Henley, man, like you guys said, you have a brother.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is constantly remind him that you care and that you're there for him. And you want to open that portal. So if he feels like he needs to talk to someone, he needs somebody comfortable to talk to, right? Because he probably exiles himself from a lot of relationships. So you just want to keep that portal constantly open so he knows. I mean, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can honestly do besides throw someone in prison, which sometimes equals to worse shit because you just get the stuff in jail anyways and you get mixed up with other connections to do other stuff. It's really hard to get somebody out of that mindset. When they're ready, they'll be ready, but you want to keep that portal open between you and him so when he is ready, he knows who to talk to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have another brother who's actually celebrated. I want to say it's 4 years in. What do they call it? Is it Drugs Anonymous? What is that called?
N.A.
Sean? N.A. He just celebrated 4 years. He just got a few awards.
Congratulations.
I think it was Friday. Yeah.
That's awesome, fantastic.
Dude. That's awesome. Yeah. I did like 4.5 years of completely sober. And then I drink now. That's about the extent of it. Well, anyways, that is exactly the extent of it. I'm about it. That's about the extent. I do some other shit. No. That's it. I do drink. I don't drink a lot. I never drink on work days. And I don't know. I'm not justifying it as it being good, but yeah, dude, it's everybody's different. It's a and NA is like a great place to be.
Awesome.
Let's bring this podcast up, guys. Check us out. There was this kid. Let me pull this story up. I read this the other day. I thought it was it's not a really deep story. It's a very simple story. But he had built this like $15,000 Lego figurine statue thing. Did you guys see that?
I wanted to share that with Norman and I forgot.
Okay. No, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was definitely cool for a couple minutes till some little kid came in and broke the whole thing.
Oh,
7-year old.
I think he did hear pets and knocked it down.
Yeah, he came in and he broke it. He just smashed it. Like it was a what character is this? Zootopia, right? Zootopia.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Zootopia character. Like it was on display. Is this in Japan? Shit, I should read these stories before I start talking about it. It's in China. So he had this, and then this little kid came over and just broke it, broke it into pieces.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I was gonna hit the share button, but I thought, she'll probably see it eventually. So
you know, I did hear about it. Now they said, because I didn't hear about the one kid, but I did hear the one that did knock it down. And I mean, we go to these Lego fairs all the time, and I don't know if I would be the one crying or like the hysterical woman at the behind the line of the slowpoke in front of me and go crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, I would hope that I would be the one that's hysterically crying and trying to understand that the kid, maybe it was an accident and didn't do it on purpose, and how horrible he's going to feel. But, you know, I don't know. I've never been put in that situation, and I hope nobody would do that. Don't do that.
Legos.
I build something. You break it down, you're in trouble.
These big, super big Lego things that people build, these statues, these, you know, they're so much work. I've seen them in, like, guess how many pieces are in this Lego thing. You know, they've had those. I haven't seen one in years, but Jesus, it takes so much time. I don't even know how they do that. I know, obviously, you start the feet and you build up. Is it hollow inside? It probably is. And how do you just get the curves right? If you're going like Lego bricks, right? You're going layer by layer by layer by layer, right? You're flaring out for the chin. You're coming back in and then flaring back out for the nose. And you're coming back in for the forehead. And you're making the ears. I don't even know how they do that step by step.
I think there are programs out there.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cheating.
There are programs. You kind of put what you want to do, and then the program should tell you, you need X amount of this brick, X amount of that brick.
Oh, that sucks. I thought people just did.
I think, I'm not 100% sure, because how would you start on that? And, you know, I've always said, let's build something like that, and, you know, my son especially is a huge Lego fanatic, so he's always trying to build things, and he loves doing it. And I said, well, how do you engineer something like this? You know, I understand you have an imagination and you're really good at building Legos, but there's got to be some kind of science behind this. And I think Mike, who's my better half, said that there is a program. You kind of put what you want on there, and it kind of calculates to what you need.
You know, and I'm curious also, Normie, you know, because you've been to those shows,
yes,
with the smaller, you know, creations or whatever, I wonder, are they super glued together? If, you know, if they're smaller, you know, something that you want to keep forever and not break down.
That's a good question. I guess it's a personal preference if they super glue them. Like, I think the ones like at FAO Schwarz in New York are all super glued. If you go into that store, you'll see some, like a giant Indiana Jones, like life-size Indiana Jones Lego person. If you go to the Lego store, you will see like an incredible replica of Rockefeller Center. And I think those would be hot glued down, because those are ones that stay in the store all the time. But when you go, I think when you go to like specific like fanfares, I think a lot of those were just built for those particular things and then brought down. And when you have such a big scale, you have to break it down and bring it with you in pieces, you know, not like thousands of little pieces, but at least in three or four big chunks.
Yeah, probably all laid down in like styrofoam and clothing, you know, so it doesn't break apart.
Really,
yeah.
And these people that actually build to show off their Lego creations, they're going to multiple Lego conventions. So they're moving from one in Virginia to the one in Massachusetts to one in New Jersey to the one in Florida to California. So, you know, some people stay on their side of the states. Some choose to visit all of the states with their creation. And you can be really young, I think as young as 5 or 6, to go. You just have to sign up and say you want to showcase your Legos and send pictures of stuff that you've built. And you kind of just run a table or something, and you could be a part of that crew. And I like, you know, there are little bragging things. Like when I've gone with ZombieCast to the Walker Soccer Cons, you get this cute little media pass. Their little pass is made out of Legos.
Oh,
and
awesome.
They have little Lego pieces that represent each state and then the year. So I, you know, that to me, that's serious bragging rights. Like right now, you know, one of my prized possessions is my ZombieCast media passes. But to have the Lego one, to me, there's something a little more special about that.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. You know, shout out to all these people taking their time to do creative shit, like build big-ass Lego statues.
I'm going to yell at the kids. Hold on.
Yes.
Leave the rabbit alone.
Whoa.
Don't mess with the rabbit.
You're like, what are you doing?
Leave the rabbit alone.
Sound like you're trying to be a man. Leave the rabbit alone.
These kids outside facing a little riled rabbit outside.
Guys, shout outs. You guys, speaking of shout outs, let's do some shout outs. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Do it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sean,
it's not all about you. Do some shout-outs.
So, first off, I want to give a big shout-out to Brink and Jesus and Becca from The Horrible Gamers. And Rob from Random Ramblings with Rob, because they did a podcast with those guys. Super cool, super frantic podcast. It was a great time. I also want to give a shout out to Clint Thiel, because he was on an episode with Caitlin McAtee and Gabriel Olea, which that episode only aired a section of it because there were some weird issues, but that was the last episode on the feed if you guys check it out. But I was on Clint's show, Geek Dig, the following day, I think. So guys, if you guys go on the Geek Dig feed and search episode 91, I am on there. So there's some more I'ms if you want to hear me, which I doubt you guys do, but you guys should give a shout out to Clint and go on over and like and subscribe. Ooh, to this podcast, Clint. Too. Yeah, yes, and also big shout out to Apple Fritters and any other kind of donut, because I fucking love donuts. I love donuts with a passion. I have a donut addiction. I can't pass the donut shop, the 24-hour donut shop, without stopping. I love them.
Nice.
An apple fritter is like the best bang for your buck. $1.35, and when you finish it, you're gonna be full, and your stomach's gonna say never eat a donut again until the next time. It's just like drugs. Like, I don't ever want to do this again until you're sober off that donut, and you pass by and you're like, apple fritter.
So
Henley, give some shout outs. Anything, anybody, go for it, buddy.
Oh man, I want to give it a shout out to you guys over at Brink, Iams, Jesus, Rob, McQueen over at The Horrible Gamers. Yeah, my favorite show. Hey, and the other one is This Xbox Life with Rob. And who else is on there? Run. And
Wingman!
Wingman 709. This Xbox Life.
But when you get stuck on it, you know that information always. Then all of a sudden when it comes to talking about it, you're like, for a second, like, wait a minute. What?
Wait, I think it's the other Rob. That's him. My other one is Clint Thiel over at Geek Dig Podcast. He also does co-host another show that I really enjoy. It's Green Up Gaming. It's another good show I enjoyed listening during work.
Green Up and Go? Is it Green Up and Go?
No, it's Green Up Gaming. I don't think it's Green Up and Go. I think that's separate.
I think it's a different deal. Yeah, so much geek and green and like, Clint, what are you doing, man?
I know. You know, I always get confused. I always want to say, yeah, he's with Geeky Antics. I'm like, wait, that's Yomar. He's a Geek Dig. Geek Dig podcast.
Geek Dig. Geek Dig. Anything else, man? Give a shout out to your favorite fast food. No, fast food. No, dessert. Favorite dessert. Shout out.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go with, what is it, my favorite dessert? It's not flan. It's, flan. Oh, man, it's bread pudding. It's got to be bread pudding.
Really?
Love it.
Bread pudding's not bad. But flan is delicious, too.
All right, Norma, give your shout outs.
Oh, man, I have a lot. I have a lot. So
go
here
ahead.
We go. I'm
it.
Starting. Ready? First, I want to send a huge shout out to all of my podcasting family. And that goes out to Horribly Awkward. That goes out to Horrible Gamers. That goes out to my ZombieCast family, my Knuckleballer family. A big shout out to Gabe and to my XD Experience friends.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said friends, because you guys are all my family, you know? So it's not even friends. We're just family now. So all of you are my family. And I just recently became, and you might laugh, this is cheesy, but this is the girly in me, but I just recently became a Jamberry consultant, which we do like nail wraps, pretty nail wraps. I always like to do pretty like designs and stuff on my nails. But I don't have time for that. I don't have time to paint them. I don't have time to figure out what design I'm gonna do, much less sit down and wait an hour and a half for them to dry. So I became a Jamberry consultant.
Nice.
So I want to give a shout out to Henley, because he even was passing my name around. So a shout out to you. And I want to send out a shout out to Gabe's wife, Maricela, because she actually, yep, there's my picture.
Jeez.
She actually, she made a purchase for me and she helped out in my new business. You know, The girls that actually helps the XD Experience, her name is Emily. She actually hosted a party for me. You know, Stan, who's another listener, he purchased as gifts for me. So shout out to all these amazing people. And like I said, I'm starting to consider all of them not my friends, but more like my family. You know, every time I hear one of you are going to be on the show, I get giddy for you guys. I get really excited. And it's because I want to just make you guys shine, and just I'm just so proud of all the hard work you do. And Sean, you, I know you especially, you sit down and you really edit things out. You try to really figure how to do things. I'm like, oh, okay, that's too hard. I'm done, moving on, new job, new idea. But Sean will not stop until he gets it done. So my biggest shout out is to you, Sean.
Thank you. That's
amazingness. I'm just so flattered. Absolute amazingness.
Hold on, you guys. I need to get some. Oh, I'm all blushing and red.
Oh, my God. Don't blush.
Oh, my God. I'm blushing red. You guys, my face is melting.
Come back, Sean.
It's that California heat, Henley.
I
put
know.
Him out.
Just
put him out.
A few hours north of him, so I can
so
feel
So you're
it.
A little cooler, right?
Yeah, I'm close to the ocean, so
okay. I
feel that breeze.
I wasn't making a beat either. I was like...
Oh, I thought it was a beat. I was getting all excited.
Getting
all
excited.
And then if I have to do like a dessert shout out, ice cream. Ice cream always wins, people. Yes. I like pie. I like cake, but ice cream always wins.
Oh, dude, you guys never see me in the ice cream aisle at the grocery store. I'll sit there and look at every flavor. I'm like, oh my God, this is a new flavor. That's a new flavor. Oh, that one, but I love this one. Which one do I get? I'm only getting one because now the price of ice cream has gone up to like $5. I'm like, what the hell is this? Oh, it's crazy. I'll just look at. Oh, I'm like, gee, I want them all. I fucking love ice cream. Oh, God, so good.
Ice cream is so good. It's so good. It doesn't last in my house unless if they buy like chocolate. Because again, I'm not a huge chocolate fan. Like I'll eat it once in a while, but if it's anything other than chocolate, that half gallon only lasts 48 hours in my house with me.
I just buy a quart. I mean, it lasts between me and my son. The wife doesn't eat much ice cream. But it's got to be like a Ben and Jerry's, or we have a local favorite here that you guys may have, or no, you may have it out there, but it's called Three Twins, just made down the street from me.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a local thing, but they make them in quarts, and oh, it's really delicious.
Oh, my gosh. Love What's your favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor?
Half-baked's
good. I like whatever it is with the peanut butter cup and the s'mores.
Anything with peanut butter. Anything with peanut butter.
Yes.
I made pancakes last night. I make pancakes a lot at night, right? I put crunchy peanut butter inside the batter.
Ooh.
It was damn good.
Can I add to that, Sean? Can I add to that? Just put like thin slices of banana on there.
Yeah, I'll mash a banana up. I'll take a banana, right? And I'll mash it up inside the thing. I'll just squeeze the hell out of it. And then I'll open it and just squeeze that stuff out. And I'll mix that. What I'll do is I'll mix that into the pancake batter. Sometimes I'll make French toast, and I'll put pancake batter in the eggs and stuff. So it's like a pancake.
Nice.
I love breakfast food because since I don't wake up typically till mid afternoon, and I'm up all night because my graveyard shift thing, I miss breakfast really. So I always have this fantasy of breakfast. So I make breakfast a lot when I'm. Oh, I love it. I love pancakes.
Everyone hungry.
I want peanut butter pancakes. I think I'm making that for dinner. Once we get off here, I'm like, who's up for peanut butter pancakes?
Yes, make it. And put a couple scoops of peanut butter in there. You don't want it to taste too much peanut butter, but get it like a little peanut butter taste.
Just
crunchy peanut butter. So like the little peanuts are inside it. It's so good.
Yum.
So
I'm making that. I'm making that for dinner tonight.
Oh, you kids are going to be excited.
Forget whatever else I was going to make. I was going to make chicken. Chicken move over.
I was thinking about next time doing it and throwing some strawberry jam in there as well. So it'd be like a peanut butter and jelly.
I would top that off with it.
Maybe put it on top?
Yeah. I mean, after it's all said and done, you put it on there with whatever you put.
This is my favorite.
Syrup or...
This is my favorite section, you guys, of whenever we get into food talk, because everybody loves food, man. I love food.
It gets me in trouble. I love food way too much.
Yeah.
I was born not to eat picky, so I'll eat it all.
I don't know if you guys saw my post, but I went to Taco Bell for breakfast the other day. I was like, yes. I mean, it's not that great, but it was still
Taco Bell.
I've never had the breakfast. Is it good?
Dude, the crunch wraps, the breakfast crunch wraps.
Yeah.
Well, I get off work at 7 a.m., which is too late for me to go by Taco Bell and get breakfast. And I don't get up till the afternoon. So I miss that breakfast. I'm never awake during that breakfast time. And it sucks because those breakfast crunch wraps are fucking delicious, man. So bad for you.
I think they open at what, 7?
But see, I get off work at 7. The last thing I want to do is go eat a big Taco Bell thing to go to bed.
Right.
Oh, Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell.
Taco
It's just on the other side of my like main street that I go to, so it's very rare I'm in that direction. So I don't stop at Taco Bell so often, but sometimes I just crave it. I just have to have it.
I have to hit it at least every Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. Nice. I typically, when I'm working, I usually wait till about midnight before I really eat my first meal. I stop somewhere fast food, whatever's open late, when I'm working. But now I got this, our old truck was getting like, it's old, it had a lot of miles on it. So we're using this other Dodge truck, and I'm pulling this big ass trailer. So now I can't take this thing through a drive-thru. This trailer's huge. And so then I got to bring like sandwiches and shit. I'm so unenthusiastic. I'm not enthused to go to work. Really, I'm not excited to go to work. I don't get to get no fast food. I got to bring these like cold sandwiches, and it's no fun.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment because I saw you with that container, and I thought, well, is that methamphetamine in there?
Yeah, you know, but
that's what it looked like.
Yeah, I drive around town making meth. In case it blows up, it blows up somewhere on the road.
And there's lettuce and tomatoes all around there too. You know, it's funny because I always laugh. You know, I hated middle school with a passion. And one of the things that I was teased out endlessly was because my mom would make me sandwiches, like hoagie bread with lettuce and tomatoes and turkey or ham or provolone cheese and some mayonnaise. And, like, they teased me for having these kind of sandwiches. And then Subway broke out a year and a half later. And here I'm bumping into these very same girls that totally mocked me for having those sandwiches. And here they're getting their 6 to 12 inch subs with like all that stuff in there. Mm. So I'm like,
I remember the very first time I tried Subway, and I got a pastrami sandwich with the oil and the vinegar, and my fucking mind was blown.
Yeah.
But delicious.
Do you guys remember this? Because when you're younger, your parents, like a lot of parents get in the same trends of what they give you for lunch. Do you send your kids with lunch, or do they have hot lunch, you guys? Both of you guys?
Both.
Both.
Okay. Well, I always brought lunch. I didn't really get the hot lunch. I always brought my lunch. So you'd always have the same stuff, typically sort of the same stuff. And your friends would have typically sort of the same stuff. Then you start hot swapping and trading for shit, my Twinkie for your Oreos. That's where the trading, your trading addiction comes. Oh, we can barter. We can barter for new foods, guys.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what my kid does with his snacks.
Do that though now.
Yeah, everyone's got food. Like later in high school, I would have money. Like the salad bar at school. And, you know, there's, like, no limits on how high you can pile that salad bar up and how much ham you can put on there. Oh, yeah. So bomb, dude. Every time I make a salad till this day, I think of those salads, and it's never the same.
Of course not. It's that nostalgia and that amazingness. Yeah. I know. Now you pay for it. You know what
it's
I
like
mean?
Going to the
so you're
all
like,
you can
ah.
Eat.
My goodness.
At school, though.
Dude, I can eat a lot of I can eat a lot of food, but when it comes to going to a buffet, for some reason I get full quick and it's just kind of a waste. And I end up just eating a bunch of dessert because I'm like, oh, I got all these pies and cakes to eat. I'm gonna eat all this shit right now. You guys, I haven't been to a buffet in so many years. I want to go right now. You guys should drive to California. Actually, Henley, you're already here. Drive up to Fresno. Let's go to Hometown Buffet.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
I think we have one.
I want pictures. I love buffets. I can't eat a whole lot of it, but man. Having all those choices, and our buffets now here give you unlimited sushi rolls, and you can even do like a Mongolian kind of grill, like a little hibachi kind of thing. So you just kind of put your plate of all the raw stuff you want on there, and they'll cook it for you right in front of you.
Those are
so,
good too.
And that's all included in the $10 for unlimited of everything you want to eat on there.
What do you guys think of Chinese buffets? Those are fun.
Those are good. You know, but you have to get there during lunch, because I notice if you go at 2 o'clock, like everything's cold and. You know, and just so just go right at lunch. Any of those
right
Chinese
lunch,
buffets,
right at dinner. And then dinner you've got the crab legs. That's where I get in trouble.
Ooh, crab! All you can eat crab legs. It's too much work.
I can sit there for hours, and it's worth the work for me.
Is it?
I grew up in Maryland. We would eat like the blue crab Maryland crabs. Mm. I'm an expert crab picker. So when somebody gets snow crabs, to me they don't taste as good as blue crabs, but they're much easier to pick. I'm used
What's
to
blue crabs?
Down.
Does the blue crabs come on the blue waffles?
They just might. But, you know, they're smaller. They don't have the long claws and the long legs. And their chambers inside their body are much smaller because they're not a big crab. So you have to really dig. And, yeah, I can sit there. I can spend 4 hours crab picking without a problem and not getting bored. And the trick is with those is you don't stop eating Maryland blue crabs because you're full. You either stop because you're tired of getting the little cuts all over in your hands, or you just really just got bored, but never because you're full.
Right. You start so at lunch and you probably finish it. It's dinner time, right?
Mm-hmm. I buy from our local store. Do you guys have Winco Henley?
No, but I see the trucks coming out of Eureka.
So yeah, I like Winco. It's just a grocery store, but everything's pretty decent prices. Like, I love shopping there, but I go into the seafood, the back of the seafood and the lunch meat and all that shit is. And I get this like tropical crab salad, which is imitation crab. Mm-hmm. And it's got like pineapples in there.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is in there, like a mayo or something. It is so, I don't know what it is with the crab and the pineapple mix. It's so good. I throw some sriracha in there. Guys, I need to go.
Yeah.
I need to go. I'll catch you guys later, man.
He's kidding.
Normie.
Before you go, give me that recipe or give me the name of that imitation crab salad thing. I want to make it.
And Normie, Gunny, thanks for joining. I'm going to go get some crab salad. Be back in 1 hour.
Starving.
No, come back.
I'm sure if you Google tropical crab salad, it might come up. It is really good. I can't explain how good the sweet pineapple and the crab, and then you throw some sriracha in there for the spice, and it's just the best thing ever.
Yum.
Ever. I love sriracha.
Sriracha.
I bought that, the little bottle. I think it's like Ed's spicy sriracha or something like that, but it's really good on a lot of things.
You can put that stuff on anything, and it just is phenomenal.
On ice cream?
Maybe.
Jalapeno ice
cream. I had sriracha and, what was it, Chobani yogurt the other day. That was not so great.
What kind of yogurt? Like a vanilla yogurt? Or you mean?
Yes, it was like Chobani vanilla with a little sriracha sauce and little chunks of, was it? I can't remember what the other thing was in it.
You added this to it, or it came that way?
No, it came that way. It's like the new flavor. But it's just the sweet and the spicy did not go together. Mm. It was just not a good combination of sweet and spicy.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems weird. I can go for the sweet pineapple with the spice. That seems pretty good. I mean, it is definitely good. But I don't know, yogurt? I like to put mini M&Ms in my yogurt.
Yes. I just had a banana.
Hold on, guys. The end of the world is happening.
No! No more to my block, please. We've already been through hell twice.
What was that? Was that a dragon?
No, so it was Daenerys Targaryen. She is on her way over. She's sending her babies to me.
Are you ready? I'm flying over. I got the dog.
Wait. Hey, sis, I'm coming over. She's my sister. You don't know?
I totally. You guys look so much alike.
We look a lot alike.
Let's try to burn Normie alive and see if she can withstand it. If you guys are related, you can withstand the heat.
My hair's not quite as white as Danny, but, you know, that's because I dye it.
I got a weird story, you guys. Let's talk about this. Just to change the flow of the conversation. There was this guy in another China story. He went to the Warcraft movie with this real sex doll.
Yeah, I saw that. I read the article too, but yeah, that was good.
So he got like two seats, right? And he brings her in like a stroller. She's got a hat on, you know, little sexy Chinese sex doll. And he takes like, is this guy crazy? Did he do this as a joke? I didn't read into it, Henley. I just seen the picture.
He did it out of, you know, that was like his companioned sex doll is what she was. But it was funny that the article said, well, he didn't buy her 3D glasses. So how could she enjoy the movie or whatever? But it was just a little creepy watching him push her in a stroller.
Dude, there's this movie I saw that's really good. I don't know. Hold on, I'm looking for this. There's a movie about it. It's about the same kind of Lars and the Real Girl. Have you guys seen that?
Mm-mm.
No.
Check that movie out. Yeah. It is super interesting. Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
And he has a sex doll, and then like he has this kind of condition where he needs a sex doll, and he brings it everywhere with him, and everyone thinks he's crazy. It's actually a really interesting movie. It's called Lars, L-A-R-S, and the Real Girls from 2007.
Okay.
And it's an interesting movie.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he is. I like Ryan Gosling. I have to see it. If you go on Netflix, Elisa used to have it when I was homebound and unable to walk for several months. I was watching all kinds of stuff, and there was one show that they had was called My Weirdest Addictions or something.
Uh-huh.
And there was actually a person. He had this doll, and to him it was his real life girlfriend, and he was a makeup artist, so he would buy her wigs and buy her clothes, and he would talk to her like a real person, be like, okay, I have to go to work now, but I'll be back. And we'd come back home from work, he would just play house with her, and he would have friends over, and his friends understood that this is, this was his lifestyle. This was real to him. And, once in a while he would take her out, but he would tell her he couldn't take her out because people wouldn't understand their relationship. So, I mean, it's a serious thing. I mean, a real thing. People do this. Not a big percentage, but it's real. And I would never thought of taking it that far. I mean, I have a little teddy bear that's been with me since I was born, and I won't let go of him, but I never thought of making him real in my mind.
It's interesting. Is this person crazy? I mean, obviously it's,
yeah, that's my question. Is this person mentally ill, Darmy, in your opinion?
I think go ahead, Henley. I'm sorry.
I mean, that was what I was, what was first thing I was thinking was, do you think this person's mentally ill? Or is this just something, he uses to cope with life?
I think that's what it is, something to cope with life. I think, Sean, like you said, with addiction, I think, this started as a form of loneliness and a depression, and it evolved into this. And this is what, how he was able to understand life in his best way. I can't say mentally because I'm not there. I can't explain that. I don't see from a first person perspective if it's a mental thing. From the us standing out, we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. That's very strange. But maybe it's not. Maybe we're just not at that level to understand this person's mind.
Yeah, there's people who need emotional support turkeys, and they take them on planes. Yeah,
I was thinking of that one too.
Yeah, I've so seen that. That's just weird.
I've never heard of that.
Dude, yes, Normie. There was
a turkey, gobble, gobble.
Yeah. I had to talk about this a couple episodes back, but there was this guy who, you could bring emotional support dogs and stuff on the planes, but this guy had emotional support turkey that he brought on the plane with him. And it's just so funny because I see a dog. Dogs are compassionate. Dogs love you back. I don't see a turkey going up gobble, gobble, and then putting its head on you and rubbing its head pat me, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see that either. It's not soft and fluffy and can return affection another way. Yeah, in the way that we would need it. Even a cat. I love my cats, but they still can't give me that affection that a dog can. It's just a different level. And again, I'm not there, so. I mean, are they emotionally unstable? I don't know. Am I emotionally unstable from my love for Hello Kitty as an almost 40-year-old woman?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you.
Or loving nail art at almost 40 years old, and I still love very girly little things. Am I emotionally unstable? Maybe.
You're knuckin'
fuss. I don't know.
You're knuckin' fuss.
I'm weird. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, good. We're okay with that, too. I promise.
That picture, Sean, that you put up of me and my nails. How I tweeted it on Facebook or on Twitter.
Yeah, I make an image for every podcast to put on the feed, and that was with Henley was in that picture too.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so yeah, I always try to make them the day before, because when I'm trying to edit podcasts and I want to make pictures and shit, it's just too much work to do. But I don't know, man. What did you guys you guys all heard about the hold on, I don't know a lot of this information. I really just learned who this chick was the other day, but that chick that got shot, Christina Grimmie. Yes. Grimmie, yeah. Or Grimmie?
I don't know. I have a friend on Facebook that I don't know how personally she knew her. I guess personal enough that she had just sent her tickets for that concert and she was unable to make it, and she's still in shell shock as to whether she should have been there or not.
Yeah, so Christina Grimmie, she was a YouTube like music star. She also went on The Voice, NBC's The Voice. And she's right. 22 years old. She had a concert. The sad thing about it was, okay, she had a concert on Friday.
Yeah, Friday, the day before.
So she did the concert, and leaving the concert, another guy ran up. It's probably just some crazy guy who was obsessed with her. I have no idea. There's not, yeah, from what I read, I haven't read all the info. Yeah, but he ran up and just shot her, and then her brother, Christina's brother, had tackled the dude, but then the guy, the shooter, shot himself.
Yes.
Yes. Fucking coward, really.
That to me, that pisses me off. If you think you are cowboy enough to take somebody else's life away, then be cowboy enough to stand up and face what you did. You know what? Even if we throw you in jail, even if we put you in the execution chair, you know what? At least stand up for what you did. I mean, we're going to all shun you and be like, what's wrong with you? But still, that to me is the coward's way out. When you come and take somebody's innocent life because you couldn't keep a handle of yourself.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. This is so sad. Like, it's so sad for her. So sad for her family. I honestly didn't know who she was till now. But so I went on her Twitter page, and I looked down. I scrolled to just a couple of hours before she died. Right. She posted a video. Like, it's a 10-second video. I wonder if you guys can hear this. Let's see if I can play this. Hold on a second. Because it's just sad because this video's here, and then a couple hours later she was shot. Let's see if I can play it.
It's crazy.
Here we go. Watch it. Wait. No, there's a lot of shit playing right now. I don't want to play.
Please come to the show if you live near Orlando, Florida. We are at the Plaza Live. Please come out. Bye.
So you can just see the video. She's super excited for this thing, and then a couple hours later she's shot by some crazed lunatic.
Yeah.
Who probably sent her a tweet like, "Hey babe," and she didn't reply. Right. So
I mean, that's the way it kind of goes. I mean, we lost John Lennon that way. We've lost just recently, who passed away? She was older, but not old. I want to say she was in her 50s or 60s. I want to say something else kind of took her out, maybe cancer. But she was actually stabbed by a fan multiple times and survived and was a big advocate. I mean, now, to me, that's somebody who is unhinged. That is somebody who's got a mental issue.
Right.
To come out and take somebody else's life for whatever warped up reason you have in your mind tells me that you are mentally unstable.
Well, the guy lived, in the same state, but he lived like 2 hours. So he traveled 2 hours to do this. It wasn't like how, for one that he
I mean, it's premeditated. It's just, it's sick, you know, what he did.
The crazy thing is he got it done. You know what I mean? Like you could plan some crazy shit like this. You know, like, let's say I wanted to meet this girl and I wanted to get, like, find the right opportunity to run up and do that. This shit is not easy. So sad. Yeah. There's a lot of crazy shit goes on in this world. So, like, don't take your life and the stuff. You know, all the little things we take for granted, we don't appreciate. It's like any minute, no matter how bad things are, they could be worse. And no matter how good things are, they could just be ended. And I think we just kind of, I don't know. We don't know.
And I hope that we just, as a general population, that there are more sane people of us than insane people out there. It's just crazy. But I think that when something like this happens, tragic as that is because it was already set out. You know what I mean? I know that's weird to say, but I mean, there's no other way to look at it. I'm not saying, you know, go out there and put yourself down the line and and call out for danger, but I don't know. I just think that this was how long she was meant to be on this earth, you know?
Yeah, she achieved what she was trying to do, and she was doing very well from what I'm reading. You know, sadly, I don't follow stuff like The Voice or and so I don't know. I watched a couple of clips of her singing, like, beautiful voice.
Right.
Yeah, I like The Voice better than America's Got Talent or whatever it's called. It's a good show.
So yeah, our hearts go out to all of her family and friends and
absolutely
all that.
Yeah.
Such a sad, sad story. And yeah, then this crazy shooting today in Florida.
Yeah, I woke up this morning. No, really, I woke up this morning. I was like, what happened? But I watched the news for a good
time. Yeah, what did happen? Tell me, because I don't know.
50 people were murdered at a nightclub. Last night, some guy came and opened fire, and I just recently found out about an hour ago, right before the show started, that I guess it was a gay club, and I don't know what the motivation was.
Oh, could have been hate crime.
And that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I just don't understand why we cannot let each other be. Why we think if we don't agree with somebody that we need to come and just take out that part of the equation. I don't get this.
But we can't automatically assume that it's a hate crime just because it was a gay club. We can't just assume
that. Right. Some people are saying terrorists, but I mean, to me, that's still a point of terrorism. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be an outside country kind of source with another different type of malicious agenda. You know, it could just be a hate agenda, you know, maliciousness. That did not make sense. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be somewhere from another country that can come and cause terror. It was terrifying for everybody there.
Yeah, it was. And I guess he's an American citizen. He called 911 between the hours of 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. and pledged allegiance to ISIS. But, I mean, they still don't know, like, you know, was he, you know, part of some group or... You know,
or did he just do this on his own?
Yeah. Why did he do it?
Wanted to play a bad name.
But it boggles the mind. I'm watching this and I'm thinking, just one guy and 50 people dead and 50 injured. This is unbelievable. This is, you know,
dude. It is. It's like one guy.
Yeah.
Whatever
his
issues are with whatever, goes out, kills 50 people. So not only is there 50 people killed. That's 50 families and friends, circles of families and friends that are destroyed, broken up. Their lives may never be the same. Like, that's so – dude, it's so insane to think that someone would do that. I don't know. I don't know the story. I guess this is the first time hearing it. But.
Yeah, and I – watching this mother today, you know, earlier today where she spoke about how her son – is unaccounted for. Her son's friend spoke to her mother, and that was heartbreaking. I had to look away. It definitely brought a tear to my eye just listening to her talk about her son. You know how he's, you know, still in there. So, and she doesn't know if he's alive or dead.
What's going on? Somebody tweeted, and I think it was Ted that put it in our chat. You know, somebody wrote, the Orlando shooting, CNN just described something I never thought of. As investigators are inside the nightclub, where many of the bodies are still where they fell, they have to tune out the nightmare sound of all the deceased phones ringing constantly as the loved ones try to reach them.
Yeah, it's a bloodbath.
I mean, I never would have thought of that. That's awful, right. You know, and they can't answer the phone to say, I'm sorry, you know. They can't answer you because of this, because they have to continue this investigation. And in the meantime, these people are desperate to find out if it's their child.
Yeah, that sucks, guys. There's been a lot of fun stuff on this podcast, and there's been a lot of some deep shit. Why is all this deep shit happening?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to bring that up.
No, it's cool. People should hear about it, you know?
True. It's what's going on around the world. Sadly, you know, we just live in a weird, darkish kind of times, and we either can talk about the dark things, but also make the best of what we have and talk about ice cream and flan and all those other fun, yummy things.
Yeah, I've lived a very non-violent, non-confrontational life where like when I've been like you know, I could get my ass beat and maybe not mm-hmm. fight back. You know, I just, it's not in me. I imagine like throwing blows and just punching the shit out of someone's face because we were in a fight, or even if he started the fight, how bad I'd feel. That's just not my thing. I've always just avoided it. I've always tried to be everyone's friends. I'm one of those peacemakers. I've never been in the positions to be in fights, so I don't even know if mm-hmm. I was in a fight. Like if I was on the street and some guy's like, "What the fuck are you looking at?" I'm like, oh, "Well, me," and he just comes over and starts punching me. Like what I would do because I don't know. I haven't been in that situation, and so I'm not just gonna start throwing some Mike Tyson's blow like, "What fool? What
And start ducking and weaving. Fighter either, so I try to avoid altercation every single way that I can, whether it be verbal fighting or physical fight. It's just not my thing.
Speaking of fighting, same, you know, here. Muhammad Ali passed away too. Like a lot of bad stuff. Like, damn it, Muhammad Ali, man.
And then Prince, they realized he had a drug system. You know, he died of an overdose. You know, and it's a drug that's now becoming the new thing that doctors are prescribing, but it's like a silent killer. I wouldn't say a silent killer, but definitely one that's not really prescribed because it's of its dangers.
Yeah, and you know, he probably, and I'm just assuming here because I was talking with some friends earlier this week about that and saying how it's probably a situation where, like it was with Michael Jackson, where, you know, he's got his own private doctor and, you know, he's prescribing him medication. He's not going to say, you know, no, you know, he's going to give him what he wants, or, you know,
he'll go somewhere else.
Highest or strongest medication there is. So, yeah, I mean, I'm only speculating on that, but.
What is that? Is there a helicopter?
No, somebody's ratty old car. Yeah, their muffler's about to fall off any moment now.
But you know what I mean, Army, where it's like he's going to take, you know, he's going to give him the strongest dose of medication, you know, because that's what he wants, or, you know, and eventually you will overdose and die.
And he'd be like, look, I'm rich, you know, I chose you as my doctor, I'll just go to somebody else. And that doctor's like, well, no, I want to, you know, I like being so-and-so's doctor. So, and there are a lot, in this show that I was showing or watching, there are just a lot of doctors that don't want to say no to their, you know, to their patient. So, you know, this is how things happen. You know, I know that my uncle, who's a doctor, he is very meticulous as to what he dispenses, and he only gives out things that he knows for sure that person needs. He's had people come and say, well, you know, I don't feel well. Can you just write me a prescription? He's like, no, you need to come see me. I need to check you out. And I'm like, well, why do you want to see me? He's like, because I want to do a routine check and make sure that you really need this medicine. And people would not show up. Or some people would come in and still try to do their checkup and there was nothing wrong with them. You're like, I'm sorry. I can't prescribe something to you that I feel you don't need. You know, he's like, to me, it's not about, you know, making money. It's about being an ethical doctor. And when a patient comes to me and I give them something, they know that they're getting it because they really need it.
Yeah.
And not just to feed an addiction. So it's hard. I mean, it's tough. You know, you would think that somebody in a spot like that could be like ethical and be like, nope, sorry. But, you know, sometimes you feel bad for your patients. You want them to feel good. And maybe this medicine, they're so deep into it that if they don't have it, they will be sick. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, but
it's just a vicious little cycle.
Back to the Orlando shooting. I just want to say my heart goes out to those families affected by this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a nightmare.
Yeah,
what a nightmare.
Yeah.
At least 50 people.
It's been a crazy year already, you know, since January. It's been a lot of weird stuff going on, man, and it's I don't know. It's very heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. I don't know. We got to stand united. America, we just got to get our balls in check and stand up and just say, you know what? We're going to not deal with this crap.
Okay. You know? This is not heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. This lady has fingers for her toes.
What?
Can you say, I see that?
What are they? Yes. What is it with her toes?
They're like long fingers.
Uh-huh. They look like webbed hands.
They're that's a foot with fucking fingers on it.
Wow, that's weird.
6-inch I've fingers. Seen that real? 6-inch toes. 5.5 or 6 inches.
Yeah. Wow.
I saw that, so I thought I'd break the ice with that. Guys, there's a lady out there who has, I don't know, I wonder if she could draw pictures pretty good or play the yo-yo. Are you?
I have a friend that was born with an extra thumb, so it's very possible they had to operate. Yeah, they had to operate it. Like, he had his thumb, and there was another growing out. So they had to operate and remove one of the thumbs. And if you looked at his hand, you could see that his thumb was growing up higher on his finger. And then you see the little scar.
There was a kid in high school who sat next to me, and I always thought it was so weird when I was in high school because I was never really exposed to these type of things. But he is missing his thumb.
Wow.
Because it was some boat thing, and it got something got wrapped around it. I heard him tell the story in class, and it got pulled off. But just like him, like looking at his hand, a thumb was missing. It was so weird to me. Like, I don't know. It was very weird. It was hard, like, to not look at it, you know?
Because
at the time, I had never really seen anything like this. And I was like, I couldn't imagine, like, you know, just being in this. I take it, okay, I try to look at it from his point of view. You're out there having fun time at the lake. Something happens, your hand gets caught in something, and your thumb is gone. And it's not the fact that later your thumb's gone. Like, the pain you go through, all the steps from getting you from that position right there, wrapping your hand up, let's jump in the car, let's get to the hospital, all the stress. Wow, it's crazy.
It's crazy. My dad, something like that happened. My dad, my dad's a little old man. He won't mind that I tell you he's 86 years old. But back in the day, he worked in, like, it's like Harry Potter old-fashioned train station. But to them, it was modern. And he worked with the trains. He worked on those big carts. And one time, one of those carts got loose, and he was working on the track, and he couldn't get his hand off in time, and he got his fingers run over. Ooh. And it cut one of his fingers down in half and, like, almost mauled another one of his fingers. So they all kind of broke, and two of his nails don't grow on the other one, and his fingers, like, fingernails, like, split half down on his middle finger. And I remember as a little kid, I asked him, and he told me the story, and I laughed, and I said, yeah, Dad, don't joke, because my dad was a joker. He's like, no, for real. It really happened. And I would ask him every so many years, you know, because, you know, again, I thought my dad was just joking. He's like, no, I'm serious. That I saw stars that day.
Yeah.
So it's crazy, the things that happen to us.
Yeah, when I worked at the print press, there was this guy who got his hand caught in the print press, and his hand was all split open, like all this whole hand just smashed in between the rollers, and that was a crazy thing. Like, they say, pay attention when you're working with big machinery.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention, and a lot of us just forget that for a second, and one wrong move, and you're screwed. It could be a life thing. You could just lose your life in a second.
Crazy.
I was going to say, I'm pretty fortunate. Nobody in my family's ever really lost any limbs, but I was going to mention that, I don't know if you guys remember in high school with wood class, right?
Yeah.
You know, your wood class teacher was always missing a finger or two, you know?
Not mine. <Right?
laughs> Look, mine
guys,
was.
Today in class.
Yeah.
Hey, boss,
did you guys feel that earthquake that just rumbled through your area? What was it, Friday?
Not my area, I don't think.
Was it mine? Was it the Bay Area? Or
I think it was.
I just heard there was an earthquake in California a couple days ago.
Ted felt it, so I was in
SoCal,
LA, yeah. Somewhere.
So no, have you ever felt an earthquake before?
Yes, I lived through the '89 earthquake, Oh yeah, you did too. Yeah, the Bay Area, which that thing was like 15 seconds long, and it tore the Bay Bridge apart. What else? What else got buildings collapsed? What else?
Yeah, the freeway 580 collapsed.
Is that the one?
It was a double-decker freeway.
It
collapsed
on
top of all those cars.
Yeah, it collapsed, and like it just like the top layer fell.
How did that feel? Like, what were you guys doing in that moment?
I was a kid. I remember I just had bought like a bunch of crickets to feed my lizard, and that low spilled out. So we had crickets living under our rug for like months and months and months, and it was crazy. It was so long, just everything shaking. You don't realize how long 15 seconds is until you're feeling it in an earthquake. And then all night you feel these big earthquakes. You feel these aftershocks, and you think, when I was younger, you think that it's coming back. It's coming, like, everyone's scared to shit. Power's out everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know, families are, our neighbors are coming together with candles and just hanging out because, like, it was crazy.
Yeah, I'll never forget that moment. I was sitting there with my friends. We were outside, and I looked at my friends and I said, did you guys feel like the ground's moving, or is it me? And they kind of laughed and they said, Henley, you're just like, you must be really hungover. and then all of a sudden, things just started to rock, and I could see everybody came out of we had a bunch of apartments around us at the time, and everybody came out all at once screaming, you know? And I'm like, holy cow, it's a big earthquake. And then not even a few seconds after that, I heard this large explosion, and I looked behind me, and it was the power line had come down into the grass field where we were and exploded and just started a big fire.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So everybody's calling 911, and everybody was too afraid to go back in because of the aftershocks. It was just, and I think that's when it was the World Series between the A's and the Giants at that stadium.
There, oh, wow.
Yeah, that was going on at the same time. So
I've felt my first earthquake, my first and only earthquake, about five summers ago. I was doing summer camp, and, you know, because I work with a little one, so they were all sleeping. And I'm sitting down, and my chair, the floor starts to shake. I said, oh, I'm getting sick. The room is spinning. And I look at the walls because the movement caught me from the side of my eyes, and the walls were shaking. You know, a handsaw, like those old handsaws with a wooden handle and the metal part and with little teeth. And, you know, if you shake it, it goes like, that's what my walls look like. And I'm like, nope, this is not me having like the stomach flu or something and feeling dizzy and nauseated. And like the little kids start to wake up. I pop my head out the door, and, you know, a couple of my coworkers come running out. I think we're going through an earthquake. And that thing lasted like a good 15 seconds. Mm. And here in the East Coast, you don't have earthquakes. But my phone started lighting up from like Virginia all the way up to like, I think Massachusetts felt it. And the reason why we all felt it is because we're flat, I think they said. So our plates are different than you guys. So because we're all straight up, we all felt it at the same time. It was crazy. It was surreal to feel a shaking movement that I couldn't control myself. Like my legs would not stop moving. Like I'm like, legs, put yourself together. And it wasn't like no control. It was the oddest thing ever.
Yeah, it's weird because that force is a force that nothing can stop or protect you from. No matter who you are, how much money you got,
right? Yeah.
It's an earthquake. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with tornadoes. It's the same thing with tsunamis and volcanoes. Like, it's these natural forces that no one and nothing at all can stop them. That is the earth doing what it naturally does, and no one can do anything about it. That is scary, guys.
That is scary. That is. And you cannot control it.
When I went home later that evening, because cell phones, I don't think existed at the time. I was telling my sister, I'm like, Rob, did you feel that earthquake? She goes, I was on the toilet. So she goes, yeah, the water was splashed.
Just imagine those people who were driving across that bridge, though, and then an earthquake, and then the bridge is shaking, and then it collapses. Like it was that double layer, and the top layer collapsed.
And watching that car go down.
Yes.
Into it, like it just kept going. I'm like, stop! But it just went straight down into the, I guess, onto the second deck.
That's scary. That makes me never want to go on a bridge ever.
Damn, lots of excitement. You guys, it's time to end the show.
Yes, let's do it, because now I'm thinking about going underwater again.
I want some blonde.
Okay.
Red pudding.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to thank you guys both. But let's wrap it up! Ayo, Freeman.
Yo, what's up, Iams?
Dude, what's left to do?
Come on, man. Wrap it up, son.
You can find me on Twitter under Normie with two eyes, Normie477, or you can find me on allgames.com Monday and Thursday nights. Monday with ZombieCast News at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Knuckleballer Radio. You can find me on the Social Dozen. I would love, love, love to hear from anybody who wants to leave us a voicemail there. So give us a call at 201-762-4256. There is no official format to leave a voicemail. Just leave whatever you want to say. We will play it on there, and we would love to hear from you. Also, if you know anybody, yes, this is a shameless plug, as my co-host Matt Bradford would say. If you know anybody who loves to have pretty nails, come find me, and I will hook you up with some Jamberry information and some goodies. Find me on Facebook under Normie Late, and I can tell you all about that there.
I think I might be interested in that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I got ugly nails.
New trend.
Would you touch my toes?
I would. You know what? And if you're in my area, I would gladly put them on for you. Hands or toes. I do not mind feet. They do not scare me.
You don't want to see my feet.
Hey, I'm a test dummy for my wife. I use my toenails.
See, there you go. See?
Right?
It works.
Awesome. Is that all of them? I feel like you got more. What about
gamer tag? A gamer tag. Yes, yeah. On Xbox Live. I played Left 4 Dead 2 on Xbox One because it's backwards compatible now. So come find me on Xbox Live under Normie Bug.
Awesome. Henley, go for it, man.
Yo, you can find me on the Facebook, Henley Merrill. Also on Twitter, Henley Merrill. Just search Gunny Chief on the Twitters. And just wanted to give another shout out to another good show. It's Bad Cop, Bad Cop. I believe that's with Dave and Jerry.
Yeah, those guys are awesome.
Yes. And I see you can find me in the chat rooms.
You know, I love those guys. The moment I heard them, I had them. Oh, was that the end of your plugs?
Yeah, that was it.
Gunny Chief?
That's it for me,
buddy.
Did
you say Gunny Chief?
I did. Gunny Chief.
That's right. The moment I heard Bad Cop, Bad Cop, they're so insane, right? Right? They go for the no filter podcast. We're going to say what we feel. We're like, yes, as if it's just us two and no one else is listening. But I love those guys. Had them on the show. Had a great time. Had Jesus on that episode as well. I've been listening to it ever since. You know, they always give me shout outs on their shows. I think they're just, they pity the horribly awkwardness. But, you know, if they are listening right now, dude, Dave and Jerry, you guys are fucking badasses. And their show is gonna blow up because they're on the edge of doing whatever they want. They just, like, you know, when you listen to it, you're like, oh, did they just say that? Holy shit, this is fucking awesome.
And, you know, they're not, I think they said they were located in Reading, Pennsylvania, which I'm not too far from. So I would like to meet them one day.
Me too.
Pennsylvania. Yeah, I think that's it, right? Yeah.
Me too. And just another one that another great one that I listen to along with the backup is Ice in the Face.
Yeah, Ice in the Face.
They say what they want, and I love it.
Yeah, Rick and Sarah. Yeah. Big shout out to them as always. Had them on a couple episodes back. And listen, they also have another podcast called Life with Lyme, because Sarah, one of the hosts, she has Lyme disease. So she has another podcast about it, which is on Stitcher. I can't find it. But super cool, super, super awesome people that I'm so glad that I've met and got a chance to hang out with. And just same way, I got a chance to hang out with Normie and talk to her a lot. And also this other dude, what's your name? What's the other white guy's name?
Hank.
Hank. Hank, dude, you're a great dude. Bunny Chief.
It's Funny Teeth. Funny Teeth.
I like that.
Yeah, dude, I'm so glad I get a chance to, like, hang out with all these cool people, and I can call you guys all friends, which is amazing. So, you guys, what is one thing you've learned on today's show?
I have learned that tonight from dinner, I am making peanut butter pancakes with some chopped up bananas on top, and since I have Cool Whip in a can, we are going to be doing that. So I have learned a new recipe tonight.
And I learned that you can take out the power with a lawnmower. Not sure how, but it can be done.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Take out the whole block.
Yeah, I've definitely learned that. Whatever's going down on Normie's block, they need some cameras and have a reality show, because it would be entertaining. There would always be something cool going on. Do you guys hear gunshots? Pop, 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 pop.
Normie, put up one of those, one of those things you could put out there, and then put an internet cam, and then you could just broadcast it 24/7.
See, there you go. See,
it should.
Yeah, I should do that. Maybe the people at the graveyard not too far from me do come out at night.
And I've also learned that Gunny Chief and I shared the same earthquake So we're like earthquake buddies, dude. We're like, aww, we like shared the same tremors, dude. It was like awesome, man. We felt the same thing at the same exact moment. It was fucking cool, man.
And we're family.
And we're family. It's like, man.
We're related.
Life can't be. We're not related.
Yeah, we are.
You're quake bros.
Yeah. Anyway, awkward. We'll talk about that another time.
It was epic. So. Where am I at? I don't even know where I'm at. So you guys all know my jumble jabble, but I go over it in case somebody for the first time is listening. So you guys can always find me on, where am I at, dude? Okay, so I was on the Geek Dig podcast, so go check that out. Episode 91, do not pass that up. Pretty awesome stuff. Horribly Awkward is also found on the BS Podcast Network at bspodcastnetwork.com. There's a lot of cool shows on there you can go check out. Pure BS Podcast, Science Faction, Real Stupid Podcast, Geek Dig, Bitches Who Do Work, Dropping Loads, War Pod, Accidentally the Whole Tip, XD Experience, and there's another one that's like an all-German podcast. I can't remember the name. Valkyr? I want to say Val Kilmer. I can't remember the name, but it's all German, but it's a lot of cool shit going on the BS Podcast Network. You can find me on the Social Dozen once a month. You can also find me on Horrible Gamers, possibly. Zip, 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 zip. We'll talk about that later. Find me on Twitter at awkward_podcast, or my personal account is theycallmeiams, at theycallmeiams. And that's also my gamer tag, so theycallmeiams. If you guys want to search that, look me up. Iams is spelled just like the dog food, no spaces. Find me on everything as that. HorriblyAwkwardPodcast@gmail.com is where you can send me your emails. You can type them out. And my voicemail number is 510-600-3475. You got it? Get it? Got it? Good. Rate and review me on iTunes, please. So,
do it.
You know what to say, Henley. What do I end the podcast with? Go, say it.
You always end it out with, peace out, Brussels sprouts.
But you got to say, as Gidget would say.
As Gidget would say, peace out, Brussels sprouts.
That was the creepiest thing ever.
I didn't say it like that, but it was nice. I say it.
Let's say it this way. Peace out, Brussels sprouts.
It's like, hey, peace out. You guys want to come to my creepy van and peace out with me? Okay, hey, come inside and let's all peace out together.
All right, let's do it.
I'll smoke flowers with you.
Lots of flowers.
I got candy. I got licorice ropes. I got flesh covered flavored hot dogs.
Oh, great. I'm in.
Your van's kind of cute.
I got plush seats and video games. I got video games.
Y'all got that Xbox? The Xbox One?
I'll do that.
This is going too far.
All right.
So before we get started, guys, here's what I need. I need one of you guys to tell me a brief story, any story, about anything, which, 2 minutes or less.
Okay. I have a story for you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
So yesterday I was taking a nap, and yes, because I'm an old lady like that, so I need naps, and I was barely asleep, and I hear, Mom, Mom. Why is the power run out or off? So I open my eyes, I go outside, and some homo in my yard was, not my yard, in my neighborhood, was mowing the lawn and hit an electric line and knocked it down and knocked out power for about an hour and a half in our town.
What kind of mower? Like a riding mower, right?
I have no idea. That's what I'm hoping. I mean, I don't think a regular riding mower would knock down a power line. Oh, and the reason he knocked out, and then the fire department kept coming down the street, because the power line started touching one of the bushes and started creating smoke. And they were afraid it was going to cause a fire.
Okay, awesome. That's gonna spark our topic for the improv.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so I'll be somebody out. mowing the lawns. I'm going to come in. Let's see. Let's get the basis of who we are before we start.
All right.
We're going to be working at it. Henley, you're the cashier at a store. I bought a lawnmower. And then Normie will be a customer behind me. We'll just go from there. All right?
Okay.
Let's see. okay.